Some of you may have heard me rant before, just a little, about those preachers who always try and tie all three readings for the Sunday together and kind of put a bow around them. For those who haven't heard me say that, it's not really a rant, except to say that linking with a theme week by week can lead to something I think that is quite unhealthy, a presumption that our Bible is one big book that all slots together beautifully. That our scriptures, the Hebrew writings, the Gospels, the Epistles, so much more, all ultimately speak with one voice and one message, what biblical scholars call the myth of univocality. Remember that word, it's a great one to drop into conversation. But as anyone with more than a passing knowledge of our scriptures knows, there are a multitude of voices, a multitude of contexts, opinions, understandings, genres, styles, authors, editors, and indeed a multitude of theologies within our scriptures. To not see this is to move toward that dangerous way of thinking that makes scripture perfect and unquestionable, infallible and inerrant. And then you can pretty much use it to justify anything you want by cherry-picking the verses that back up your own opinion, because it all fits together, right? Having said that, I think there are threads we can pick out of our scriptures and places where we will find echoes of other parts and principles which carry through different books. The primacy of love, the calling to justice, the divine mandate to care for the needy, the revelations of the nature of God, revelations which change and evolve and sometimes devolve, and which we are still wrestling with as we continue to wonder, what is it that we are talking about when we talk about God? Now, perhaps there's a speaker series for another time. Having said all of this, there is amongst the first and the last of our readings, the Hebrew scripture and the gospel, a kind of a bit of a shared theme. Not an intentional theme. No, not one which the writers put in there for us to see, but something which, when we look through a certain lens and admit our own bias in doing that, gives particularly that Hebrew scripture and the reading from Matthew a shared resonance. I tried to kind of squash Acts in there as well, but it really didn't work. That was too tenuous. So when I looked at the reading set for today, my immediate response was that my heart lifted. I love these readings. Well, I particularly like the reading from the Hebrew scripture and from the gospel. I could talk for hours on these two readings, but promise you I won't. I want to look particularly at that reading about Abraham and Sarah and their encounter with the divine in the form of three visitors. What is striking for me is not trying to shoehorn some kind of Christian theology into a Jewish text by claiming, as some do, that this is an expression of Trinity in the Hebrew scriptures. Nonsense. But a reminder that in a text that we consider to be, because we're reading it backwards through time, a text that we consider to be hugely monotheistic, the Jewish people were very happy with different expressions of the divine. A multiplicity of expressions of how God might be known. Judaism would become deeply monotheistic, but within the scriptures, we see an openness to the idea that God might appear in unexpected, various, and diverse ways. And it's not out of place to say that this openness to seeing the divine in unexpected ways is something we need to hear again and again. We need to be reminded that God is seen in the non-conforming, in the different, the diverse, the queer, the racialized, the poor, the traumatized, the artist, the non-binary, and the non-believer. Every effort to try and contain where we believe God will be found is going to fail. And in this Pride Month, against a growing amount of hate speech and intolerance, of violence and persecution against the queer community, we continue to affirm and celebrate God's generous gift of a multiplicity of gender and sexual identity. Thank God for the deep diversity of humanity. We must continue to stand up for gender, sexual, racial, and cultural justice for all. And there's more. Look at Abraham and Sarah's reaction to these three visitors, who are apparently an expression of the divine. Welcome and hospitality. Bread, bread cakes, fresh meat, curds. Without hesitation, they respond with hospitality, because hospitality is life-saving in nomadic communities and in poor communities. And because if one is open to the possibility, one may meet the divine in every encounter. This theme of hospitality is the one that I think links both this reading from Genesis and the reading we had from the Gospel of Matthew. In the Hebrew scripture, we see the generosity of welcome, and in the Gospel, we are told that those sent out are to give freely to all they meet. And if we were to go on, as we nearly did on verses beyond this reading for today, we would hear the disciples being told to shake the dust off their feet if they are not met with hospitality. For us today, part of the challenge of affirming and celebrating diversity in our common life is the question of hospitality and welcome. Not that we are unwelcoming, but there is a natural and unequivocal hospitality so deeply ingrained in non-Western cultures that we don't necessarily get it. It's something I think we should aspire to. My wife Sabina, for instance, is always surprised when there's no food available after church. For Sri Guru Nanak, the first of the gurus and the founder of the Sikhi faith, said that any who attended his gatherings must be fed. But this sense of hospitality is baked into so many cultures, even as we in the West have contracted into often very separate family units and as individuals. So the question for us, I think, is what would that radical hospitality look like for us as a community? We are a welcoming and loving community. I say that with deep gratitude for all that you do and all that you are, the loving and gracious community that St. John the Divine is. But I ask, what more can we do to meet the deep needs of the world beyond our doors? I don't have the answer to that, but I think it's something we must wrestle with together. But there is another message that I would like to leave us with today. And I love this from today's reading. Laughter. Sarah laughs. She laughs at the possibility that she might bear a child in her and Abraham's twilight years. That wonderful line, you know, may I have pleasure now that I'm old? Sounds a bit depressing, really. But the response of these visitors is not to chide or criticize Sarah for her laughter, just to state that she laughed. And the son that they will bear is named Laughter, Isaac. What these people give in response to the laughter is a promise of new life and hope. Sarah and Abraham had already tried to go another route, with Abraham fathering a child by his concubine Hagar, which we will hear about in the next week, and which gets mentioned slightly later on in our communion prayer today. But the promise that Abraham and Sarah would be the parents of a great nation was yet to be fulfilled. And this is the work of the divine, who is able to accomplish more than we can ask or imagine. The God who works with our laughter and our incredulity. The God who calls us to a bigger and wider and deeper vision than we already have. In our scriptures, we have stories which remind us of the God of the unexpected, the God of blessing, the God of grace, the God of abundance. In our scriptures, we are called again and again to see the work of God in unexpected places, not to declare unclean that which God has declared clean, to seek out those who feel lost, to have compassion on the outcast and the excluded, to love without limit and without judgment, to laugh with those who laugh, and to weep with those who weep. As Sarah laughed with incredulity at the promise of God's blessing, I hope we will be a laughing community as we discern God at work within us, around us, through us, in our lives of hospitality, in our celebration and affirmation of all people, in our sharing in worship, faith, hope, and love, in being the laughing people we are called to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.